You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, nice to have your company here. On this Tuesday, as myself and Dave Tindall look ahead to another week of golfing action. Just the one event this week as well, the Alfred Dunhill Championship. And it's a warm welcome to my golf podcast partner, Dave Tindall, who joins us this week to look ahead to this event in South Africa. Good morning to you, Dave.
Hello, my podcast partner, Dave. How are you?
I don't even know why I said that, Dave,
I did. And panicked.
We never, ever, we don't start these podcasts again, do we? Whichever way it goes, that's the way it goes, basically.
We have to live with it.
And I've got to live with saying something like that at the start of the podcast.
It's on the record. I don't know what year. Is lockdown getting to you?
Oh, it is. It definitely is getting to me. I was saying last night to one of my friends, it needs to be over, doesn't it? But I'm not in favour of this, let's have a week doing whatever we want for another 3 months in lockdown. That doesn't sound like fun to me.
Yeah, no, I think I'm annoying everyone because I'm locked down. I'm not bothered by it at all.
Are you not?
No, not on any level.
I just miss going to restaurants and seeing friends, Dave. Is that not an issue for you?
Well, it kind of is, but it's kind of, you know, it's maybe like 9 months out of your life ever. Just go for walks, do something else, stop moaning.
that's one attitude to have, I suppose. What did you make to last week in terms of the golf? We saw Robert Streb winning the RSM Classic again. And it was a thrilling finish, wasn't it, really? The leaderboard was populated with nudges, as we expected, yes. I think. It's one of the few courses, we mentioned this in the preview last week, where length is not necessarily a factor. And it was also wildly affected by the draw. It was the sort of draw bias you expect in an Open Championship.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, as you said, Streb and then Kistner. I mean, I imagine if people had... Well, maybe not Streb, but, you know, maybe Streb because he's a past winner of it. But Kistner must have been on everyone's list of maybe 10 players.
Yeah.
Who they've had in that event. And we said, didn't there, there's so many of them. Harris English would have been on a lot of lists. Zach Johnson on a lot of lists. So it was kind of a leaderboard. Patton Kazir, I know, was a bit of an internet gamble, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
And he drove everyone mad by finishing 10th. But an interesting event. But they are hard, aren't they, those? I mean, we've not got a PGA Tour event this week, but we've got another one coming up in Mayakoba, and that's going to be a similar thing, isn't it? You'll find about 15, 20 specialists.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to land on the right one.
I think we saw with Kizaya that his ball striking is beyond bad, isn't it? His short game saved him. And yes. He was frustrating many punters that had backed him at like 100, 150, 125. But you realised why he was that sort of price, didn't you, on Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he did shoot 66 on Sunday, but when it really came to it, I mean, great run for your money, but obviously that's a little consolation unless you traded him in some way. But, another one of those players up there. But, yeah, as you said, a good finish to the tournament, 19 under. Tringali just a shot back, who came with a wet sail, didn't he, with a 62. Bernd Wiesberg as well, not seen much of him over the last year or so. This time last year, he was nearly going to win the European Order of Merit, wasn't he? The race to Dubai before got passed in the final event. But he came with a 63 in the final round. So, a brilliant finish and fair play to Streb.
A wonderful shot on the second playoff hole, wasn't it? Hit it to 6 inches and make the tap in for the win. What about the Joburg Open? You said last week it was going to provide a guide for this week, perhaps. And we saw Wilco Nieuwenhuizen, this phenomenal young South African talent. He showcased his ability over the first, well, it wasn't even 54 holes, was it? It was more like 63 holes.
Yeah.
And then the back nine cost him dearly in the end, but it wasn't an event I saw a great deal of in terms of the golf, but credit's got to go to JB Hansen. He's been on tour for a decade now, and to close it out with a 4-under par, bogey free 67, looking for your first win is no mean feat.
Yeah, I mean, he has been going a long time, but I think I read it was only his 146th start on the European Tour, so yeah. That's not absolutely loads, is it? Nieberger making his 23rd start. Yeah, near neighbour, we settled that we were talking about. Is it knee neighbour or near neighbour?
Yeah, I've gone with near neighbour.
Depends which part of South Africa you're from, maybe.
Perhaps.
I know, I like to speak with a...
which part, yeah, which part are you from, Dave?
Yeah, none of them. Fantastic performance by him. I got a little bit of each way money back on Brandon Stone, which
of course
was quite
you did.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's at 20-1, so he was kind of up there all along. Well, he played well in the on the Saturdays to get in contention, and then didn't quite go through with it on Sunday, but decent return. But yeah, good event, and one for the Europeans. Looking at the leaderboard, it was 5 South Africans and 5 5 non-South Africans. Mm. So that debate, who do you favour, was kind of split down the middle, and we've got the similar thing this week, haven't we?
Yeah,
which way do you lean?
Yeah, let's spin through the betting then. We're top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we're paying 8 places. We usually restrict that to the PGA Tour event, but because this is the sole event this week, doing it on the European Tour, so do make sure you take advantage of that concession. Brandon Stone is 12-1, the favourite. Robert McIntyre is 14s. Christian Bezuidenhu in the betting at 18-1. Eddie Pepperell is 22s. Wilco Nienaber is 22-1 as well. Sean Norris 28-1. George Kutsaya 28-1. Adrian Aus is 30s. Laurie Cantor 33s, along with Joost Luiten, Matthew Jordan, JB Hansen, and Gary Kigo, and Matthias Schwab. And it's 35-1 and bigger the rest. And do you think the right favourite is Brandon Stone this week? Because he's been a little bit of an early gamble as well. Opened up 16-1, William Hill into 12-1. McIntyre was the favourite when betting opened on Monday. Do you think it's? Do you think the market's got it right now?
Well, I didn't see the very opening show, so when I look at it now, I think 12-1 looks a bit short on Brandon Stone, to be honest.
Yeah.
You can see why. He's got a win at the course that was surrounded by a couple of top 20s. Obviously, last week's good effort. So you can see why. But to me, he's not an Oosthuis or a Schwartzel who you'd you'd really fancy for a home event. I know they'd be a bit shorter than that, but 12s is kind of really pinching it away, isn't it, I think, now on him. So if you got on earlier, well done, but for me, not 12s.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the best thing about this event is Sky dusting off Tony Johnston, isn't it, for the...
His animal for the week. Magic stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
Magic, isn't it, to tell us about the wildlife in the area, because this is very close to Kruger National... It's in Kruger National Park, isn't it, basically. The golf course is Leopard Creek, once again hosting this championship. And I think punters have to... They've got a decision to make this week regarding course form as well, in my opinion, because the course appears to have changed drastically since that renovation in 2017. And even though we've got a small sample size of just 2 years, the low scoring of yesteryear, the likes of Schwartzel winning with 24-under in 2012, Stone, you mentioned, having won in 2016 with 21-under, that might be a thing of the past if last year is anything to go by. Leopard Creek used it for this event since the end of 2004, but in 2017 it underwent that renovation. The Kikuyu was replaced with Bermuda, and the greens were relayed with Champion Bermuda as well. And we saw that effect last year for the first real time with the course bedding in. The fairways were fast and firm, the greens were quick, and because of that, scoring wasn't anywhere near as good as it has been in the past. And Pablo Larrazabal won with an 8-under par total despite a final round 75. And if you think back to last year, he could barely walk in that final round, Larrazabal, with those blisters.
That's right, yeah. He's had a few things. Do you remember when he got attacked by bees?
I do remember that, and he jumped in the lake, didn't he?
He had to hurl himself into into water, yeah. It was a sort of Borat sketch or something. But yeah, incredible. So, yeah, as you say, I think, I mean, does that mean, what have you had, 2 years of course form since those changes?
Yeah, and I think last year's going to be even more informative because these course designers and the guys that renovate tracks tend to say that it takes a year just to bed in, doesn't it?
Yes.
I don't know why that is, but that's what is said to happen. And it was just so fast and firm last year. And the fairways were so difficult to hold, weren't they? I think Larrathabal, his driving accuracy percentage was below 50, I think, last year, and he won.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue he'd come ninth the year before as well and 23rd before that. So he was a good course fit for the course. But I think, well, inevitably you would look at the most recent course form. But given the fact that it's actually changed since then, I definitely will lean on the last couple of years more than I would have done. Yeah. Both my picks have had a decent knock in the last 2 years. I've got two picks. I've gone, because of this, maybe the split last week and the fact that Larrathabal won last year, I've gone for a home South African and a European this week.
Oh, I have as well. I've got a South African and a European this week. And just one note about the weather as well. It's been pretty dry in the lead-up as it was last year. So course conditions might be very similar. It's not due to be windy. Thunderstorms forecast for Sunday, but in the 3 days preceding that for the championship, it's meant to be quite dry. So obviously this can change. We're recording this on Tuesday morning, but that's something worth bearing in mind, because if there was heavy rainfall in the area, then the course might play differently. But I think we're going to have a very similar test to last year by the looks of things. Maybe not quite as windy as last year, though, which might help the scoring this week as well. So two selections for you, two selections for me, Dave.
Yes.
Do you want to lead off?
Yeah, I'll lead off because we've already mentioned him. I'm going to go for Nienaber.
Are you?
My neighbour,
yeah.
Nienaber. yeah, because obviously there's last week, and you could say, oh, he might take a bit of a while to get over that mental scar tissue. But he did say he was pretty delighted with second place, to be honest. If you look at his form in South Africa, he's got two second places now in his last four starts. One of those was a local tour event, to be fair, but even so. And he played this last year when obviously he was a teenager. He's only 20 now, and shot, well, some decent rounds and was 24. So I thought, given where he was at the time and the strides he's made since, that 24th can be turned into something much better this time. Opened with a 63 last week. Clearly, striking it well. I mean, he kind of shows you don't have to beef yourself up to hit the ball miles. Did you see his 439 yard drive?
It's funny, isn't it, because when he just got long levers, he's a bit of a freak, isn't he, basically, Nienaber, and he's not obviously built like Bryson DeChambeau. Maybe the better comparison would be Cameron Champ, something like that. And it's just the length of his arms and his torso, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's 22-1 this week, which is, you know, obviously that's given him plenty of respect, but it's still a price, isn't it? It's still an each way price. It's some better names in the field, but I think 22-1 on the back of what he's done last week. And often they say, don't they, that what you want is an immediate chance to put it right, and he would have learnt from last week. I think a lot of people think that's a negative. To him, it's probably like a learning experience where he'll be chomping at the bit now to get himself in that similar position and do it better. You talk about the course running fast. Well, the maybe one event to look at recently was at Valderrama. That was a fast-running track where you struggle to find the fairway. He came sixth in that Andalusia Masters, which I thought was an excellent effort. So he's got form on this type of course. The 24th last year, that was reassuring to find, because I can't recall him being in this event last year, but to find he was 24th on his first knock last year, I thought, oh, right, yeah. So he can play the course based on those scores. And he's just a massive talent, isn't he? And I think if he progresses how we hope he might progress, then it won't be long before he's going off favourite in these events.
22-1, Wilco Nienaber, the bet for Dave. I'm going with, well, a similar kind of theme here with a talented young South African, and I'm going with Jaden Treschaper as my selection here. I thought 66-1 was pretty decent about him this week. He ranked second in strokes gained approach last week en route to a very respectable tie for 18th in the Joburg Open, and that result came on the back of very good form on the Sunshine Tour. Lots of people are talking about Jaden Treschaper, and despite being only 19 years old, he's already finished sixth in the South African Open. earlier on in the year, and Jaden Trey Shaper was, I don't think you can call him Shaper. I think he's got to be called Jaden Trey Shaper every time you mention his name now. He's just got one of those names, hasn't he?
Yeah. He
was 42nd at this course on his debut last year, but he dropped 25 spots on Sunday after a closing 78. He's obviously improved since then, and because of that disappointing Sunday, that form is slightly hidden. I don't think he's a million miles behind Nierneber in terms of raw ability, and he's 66-1 this week, which I think is a really good price. And I am looking at strokes gained approach as being key, because these fairways are going to be so difficult to find. It's going to be about second short and short game this week, and Jaden Trey Shaper, I thought, was about 66-1, so he's my number one selection this week.
Yeah, although not an official pick, I did notice at the same price Jacques Blau at 66-1.
Yeah,
he showed last week that you can take good current form on the Sunshine Tour into one of these co-sanctioned events. He'd come into that event with 4th, 2nd, 6th, 5th on the Sunshine Tour, and then he plays the Joburg Open with the European kind of challenges as well, and finishes 7th, and he was halfway leader as well. So I thought he might be a bit shorter based on what he'd done there, but 66-1, he's one, another one to look out for. But I have gone for a Spaniard as my second pick.
Have you gone with Jorge Campillo?
No.
Oh, I looked at him, you see, at 40-1, because he kind of bounced back to form last time, and he's got decent form figures around Valderrama. So when you mentioned that link, I thought that he might have been the selection here. He came close for me, Campillo, at 40-1 anyway.
Okay, no, I'm going a little bit lower, 30-1. Adrián Nous.
Yes.
Or Arnous, another one we sort of debate how we say his name. He missed the cut last week, which was a little bit disappointing. But I always think if you miss the cut with a good second round, that kind of fuels you for the next week. So he shot 75 in round one, 69 in round two. So had he got through to the weekend, you kind of fancied him to probably climb that leaderboard and get near the top 15 or something like that.
Yep.
But he was fifth before that in the Italian Open. That was 4 weeks earlier, so maybe there was some rust involved in last week's performance. But fifth, as I say, in Italy. I did look at some past... I'll get straight to the course form. He's played it once and he was ninth. That was a couple of years ago, so he's played it in the new condition. So ninth was a good knock. I also checked... These are the details we go to, Dave, in this podcast. I checked the altitude of Nairobi and Johannesburg, and they're very, very similar.
Are they?
And I say that because he was runner-up in the Magical Kenya Open in Nairobi in the past. So clearly plays well at altitude, and it's not just a thing. It's not just like a something to mention casually, but altitude, you do have to pick different clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
I read Hugh Slouten talking about how he does that on his blog. So, yeah, it is a bit of a skill to know what to do, and you've kind of got to trust your numbers. So the fact that he's done that before, both in this event, ninth and then second in Nairobi, suggests he can go well. And I always think if you're looking for a fast-running course, Spaniards kind of come to the fore, because that's a lot of what they've played in their own country. So I thought 30-1 on one of the better of the European Raiders was a decent enough price.
Yeah, I like that. 30-1, Adrián Nous, he was on my list. My second selection, though, I've gone slightly bigger in the betting for the Swede. Joel Sjöholm has been the second selection here. We had a maiden, of course, winning last week on tour. Hopefully that trend will continue this week. And Sjöholm finished second at Leopard Creek last year, closing 68-69, which was exceptional in the conditions. And he's coming into this year's tournament in better form than last year. And I liked his under-the-radar performance last week. He finished inside the top 25, ranked third in strokes gained approach. And he's now made his last 5 cuts on tour as well. So he's going through this spell of consistency at the moment. And he was 14th in strokes gained around the green in Johannesburg for that Joburg Open. Short game, as I've mentioned, I think is going to be crucial this week. And he's a 3-figure price as well, Joel Sjöholm. So 100-1, I like his chance this week at a decent price.
Yes, I always... makes me laugh when his name comes up. I interviewed him once, Dave.
Did you?
I don't know why. He must have had a good week. So, well, he was a bit of a character. I think he was wearing plus fours, wasn't he? Do you remember? Does he still? I'm not seeing him for a while. But he was a bit of a character, and I thought, well, you know, this might make a good story. And I rang him up, and he was a really lovely bloke, to be fair. But the only thing I can remember from the chat was when I asked him what his favourite film was. You're thinking there's so many wonderful films being made down the years. He's got some sort of Scandinavian stuff to delve into. And do you know what he told me?
No, go on.
Ted.
No.
Ted is a sort of about a talking teddy bear. And I just thought, I think I went, Ted? Like that. And then I put the phone down and was just incredulous.
I can imagine someone like you being absolutely disgusted by that, Dave.
I can only think he'd only just watched it and it was in his mind, but yeah. Come on, I'm a Ted.
I do like Ted, but it wouldn't go into my top 50, I don't think.
No. Even under pressure, you're not going to come out with that as an answer, are you? Surely.
No. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. It makes me want him to win even more now, Dave, and hopefully you can get a second interview with him and see if he's changed his mind on Ted.
Well, that was Ted, and then... We've since had Ted too, haven't we?
We have.
I was going to find out this again. Maybe this is beyond the research necessary, but I was going to look at when Ted 2 was released in Sweden and if he came like third the week after it was released.
Oh, that would be fantastic. If you could find that out, that would be brilliant.
There's not a Ted 3, is there?
No, I think there's just two of them, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, so, I mean, I've come to a halt, haven't I? Still thinking about it again. Ted.
So four selections between us here this week, Dave. Any others you want to mention? I mean, we've been to a few of the leading lights in terms of our fancies with you mentioning Jacques Blau and me mentioning Jorge Campillo. I don't mind the look of Will Besseling as well this week.
Yes.
He finished tied third at the Alfred Dunhill Championship last year, which was a really good result on the back of a couple of good results on the Challenge Tour. Since then, he's played really well. I mean, he finished 16th in Italy and 17th in Cyprus, third at that Sandalathea Masters, which we've made mention of more than one occasion today. So, I mean, he missed the cut in the Joburg Open last week, but he drove the ball really well there. And if you're willing to forgive that one performance, which you can always have a slight off week, Will Besseling catches the eye at 50-1 for me.
Yeah, I must admit, you seem to have looked at bigger prices than me. I was given the front end quite a close inspection. And I thought Christian Bezuiden, who at 18s was a little bit more generous than I was expecting, because he's obviously, well, he's the highest ranked player in the field for starters.
Yeah.
Whereas he can, if you're talking between him and Brandon Stone, it's like, well, Stone's 12 and Bezuiden Hoot's 18s, and one seems poor value, the other one seems a spot of value, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think those two should be closer together in the betting, definitely.
Yeah.
And I liked, when I first looked at this on Monday before the prices had been released, I was thinking, I hope I can get 18-1 about Brandon Stone this week. That was my thought process. And then when he opened 16s, I was kind of teetering on the brink, and then 12-1 is very much the wrong price now. I think it's very much too skinny.
Yeah, and Bezuiden, I mean, he's coming in off a 38th at the Masters, which was a very decent effort. Then he came straight to Joburg, to the Joburg Open, and was 15th. I thought that was a decent performance on the fact that you've just come from different time zones. Shot a 67, that was his best round on Sunday, so he saved his best to last, and that maybe made sense. Putted really well there as well. Leopard Creek form isn't great, to be honest, and maybe that explains the 18-1, but if you're only going on the last couple of years, he does have an 18th from 2 years ago, where he shot middle rounds of 69 and 66, so he can play the course. And then before last week, 15th, his previous start on home soil was a win at the Dimension Data Pro-Am. So I think there's enough there to think a class act like him could finish certainly in the places, and if not win. Eddie Pepperell was another one I thought could be a price.
22s.
Yeah.
I wasn't convinced in all honesty. I thought that was a I thought that was about the right price. He's been quite a big drifter, hasn't he, Pepperell? I'm not sure the reasoning behind that, but
has he said something like I don't like it.
I don't think he said anything. I mean, he was. I mean, his last two results have his last three results have been good, haven't they? So
well, yeah, that's why I thought he's coming right into form again, and he's got course form as well.
Yeah,
last three starts. 16th Scottish Championship, 6th at Wentworth, excellent, 9th at the Scottish Open, so in form. And then at the course, he was 8th three starts ago, and then 19th last year. Well, there's enough there for Eddie Pepperell fans. His tee to green numbers, last two events, are right up there, and his approach numbers are superb, if you're leaning on that as well.
Do you worry about the break slightly? You look at when he's had some absences in the past of 3 weeks or more, for instance, just picking out a couple of numbers here. He had 3 weeks off between the FedEx St Jude and the Czech Masters, missed the cut there. He had a few weeks off, again, Alfred Dunhill Championship to the South African Open, missed the cut there. Do you think he's the sort of player that likes to get into a bit of a rhythm, maybe, with those three results coming in quick succession?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you look at the UK Championship to the Scottish Open, that's like a month and a half almost. Well, no, not quite. Maybe 6 weeks. He did have the US Open between him. He missed the cut.
Yeah.
I know what he's saying. Maybe he'd be happier if he was 16th last week, maybe. But just to point it out to people.
I mean, 22.
Plenty going for him.
Yeah. I think I prefer him at 10 points bigger than Brandon Stone now anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair enough. Garrick Higgo. Do you like him?
Yeah, he's been quite well backed, hasn't he, Garrick Higgo, this week, 33-1. He falls into the sort of Wilco Nieuwenhuijse
already won
Jaden Trescheper bracket, doesn't he? Yeah. But he's got the win.
Won at the Open de Portugal, left-hander, that was good. Laurie Kanter, I think this might be another chance for him to get over the line.
Yeah, he was towards the top end of the market. He was possibly the one that I would have selected had I gone for someone shorter than 40-1.
Got 2 second places in his last five starts, Italian Open and Portugal Masters, and 14th here last year, so he's got the obvious route to success.
And it's not like he's been shirking the issue on Sunday, is it? I think he's just been kind of outplayed down the stretch in a couple of his recent defeats, you know, where he's looked like winning. It's not like he's stumbled and failed to get over the line. I just think he's been beaten by a better player on the day on a couple of those losses.
Yeah, in Portugal he shot 66 in the final rounds and come second, so not exactly a lot wrong there. But he'd be a winner that wouldn't surprise me if his name popped up. So quite a few to go at, I guess, this week. Mm. Have you got any at a massive price? You've got Joel Schoenhelm, haven't you?
Those were the two I looked at were 66 and 100s, the two selections. So I think those were the ones that were, stood out for me at big prices, and I've backed both of them. So shall we wrap up?
Yes, let's run through our bets.
Go on, you start with your two then, Dave.
Yeah, so, well, we've only got one event this week, so I'm going to put a point and a half each way on both of my selections. So that's going to be Adrian Nauss at 30-1. And Wilco Nieuwenhuijse at 22-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go a point each way on both my picks. Jaden Trescheper at 66-1 and Joel Schoenhelm at 100-1 as my two selections. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Thanks everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do make sure you check us out on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. And we will be back next week. We've got to work out what we're doing next week as well, Dave, because looking at the schedule, we've got four events next week. So we'll have a look at those fields and come up with a plan next week. But we've got the RSM Classic, the OHL, isn't it? The Mayakoba and the Hero World Challenge. We've got an event in Dubai and the South African Open as well. So it's a really busy week, isn't it, next week? It's a good week of golf.
Yeah, excellent. So many tournaments to go out. And rather than the stringing this out for 25 minutes for one tournament, we have to cram it in next week, won't we? But anyway, it's been good. I'm going to go and watch Ted now, I think, see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah. Thank you for your company, Dave. Make sure you check out the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. Don't forget as well, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the betting for the Alfred Dunhill Championship, and we are paying 8 places each way as well. So make sure you take advantage of the golf betting here with William Hill this week. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.